Welcome back to another episode of Pinkies Up. I'm Emma.
And this is Jada.
And this week, it is Think Tank Part 4. Woo! This is literally such a fun series to make. I mean, like, it's one of my favorites. We hopefully are hoping that it's one of your guys' favorites to listen to, too.
It's such a brain teaser. I mean, how can it not be?
And I think this is probably the last disclaimer, because if you've been a fan of our podcast, I don't know why I'd have to keep explaining it to you. But basically, I found questions online, and Jada does not know them. I only write them down. I don't even think about them until we talk on this episode. So, with that being said, should I get started with the first question?
Please be my guest.
Okay, so this one I think is a really good one to start off on. But does modern life give us more or less freedom than in the past?
Oh. See, I thought I had an answer, then I thought about it, and it's like,
no. I know.
I feel like it probably gives us less freedom.
Really?
I mean, I think so.
I might have to agree with you on this.
Because I feel like we have some social cues, even though we are breaking down barriers in how life is. I feel like there's just some things that we are still, like, shackled to. Like
shackled, she said.
I'm sure, like, there's some things, like, expectation that we're shackled to due to, like, modern life. Like, for example, let's say this. Modern life, everyone has, like, running water, electricity, and, you know what, Wi-Fi. That's, like, the basic house, right?
Yeah.
Whereas back in the day, modern life, you know, not modern life, modern times, no. Before modern times, you know, we had cold running water, and a lot of scientists used to take cold showers, and they just had simpler lives, I feel like. Unless, you know.
I don't know what the correlation was.
No. Because a lot of the scientists, they usually had, like, cold water, and that was just the norm. And everything was much simpler. They didn't have to really worry about, like, a light bill or anything else. And you know what I mean?
Like, I see what you mean.
A lot of things that we consider normal that every person should have, it's just kind of more of a burden that we have to keep up with. Whereas when things were simpler, we had less things to worry about because I feel like we were more self-sufficient. Sorry, you guys. I was rambling, but then I got it back
together. I see where you were coming from. At first, I was like, Jada, what are you talking about? it's like a yes and no question for me. And like I said, in past episodes, I hate being, like, kind of iffy about it, like, really wishy-washy about it. Because here's the thing. I mean, yes, like, back in the day, I feel like we do have less freedom now because, I mean, I currently am reading the Little House on the Prairie series, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm reading about the pioneer times and, like, really, like, learning about it and enjoying it. It's like, wow, they kind of just, I mean, yes, they worked a lot on their farms, but it was a really simpler time. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And the kids were free to do whatever they want. Like, their parents were literally like, if you're not plowing the fields or whatever, like, I don't care. Do whatever you want. Like, run in the woods or whatever.
Exactly.
But, like, also when you think about, like, societal standards today, I mean, we do have more freedom when it comes to, like, women's rights and, you know, the LGBTQ+ community.
Indeed.
And, like, for, like, racial and, like, civil rights. I mean, there is still quite a bit of work we still have to do with all of those, but we
Indeed.
Definitely have more freedom than we did 200 years ago.
That is true. That is true. That's why it's like, I feel like maybe, so not to attack, but maybe life was simpler. Like, back then for men, you know, it was just pretty simple.
White men.
You know, it was simpler. But I mean, now, because I mean, as females, I mean, I guess life, when we think in a general term, probably was simpler if things were, like, you know, back in those days. But, like, for us individually, females, you being a white female, me being a black female, it would have been hell. But, you know, such a life.
C'est la vie. Okay. Okay, this is a really good one, too. Would you want to live 1,000 years in a 25-year-old body if you had the choice?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Yes. That's, like, prime years. You're youthful. You're old enough to do what you want to do. Mm-hmm. And then you can still have, like, be able to produce children at that age. I mean, you're healthy. You can keep on learning. Your, like, body is not basically deteriorating at this point.
Uh-huh.
I would love that. That's, like, a good age. I mean, it's better than being stuck at, like, 13 forever, you know, 1,000 years, you know?
That's true. How
do you feel?
Like I would. I mean, like you said, you know, you're in like kind of like a prime area of your life. I mean, right now, like kind of just with how the climate situation's looking, I mean, I don't know if I'd want to live 1,000 years. But like, okay, let's go back 1,000 years. Let's go back 1,000 years.
That's what I was thinking, but you know what?
Yeah, okay. Like, let's go back 1,000 years. I honestly think the only thing I would say I would do that because I think it'd be fun to see how the world evolves and like, you know, how music and culture and movies and books. And I think that'd be so cool to see just how the world evolves. Yes. I think that'd be really cool, especially like from the point we are now, like 1,000 years in the future. The only thing I think that would be hard is if you were the only person who like stayed young and like all your friends and family that you have right now, you'd have to watch them get old.
Yeah, that probably would be hard, but, like, just imagine how many of your, like, of your grandkids and your, like, descendants that you could watch over, and you could just guide them and just have that firsthand experience that you can just be, like...
I didn't even think about that.
Like, just because you can keep on having kids, and you're like, oh, okay, I had you. This you know, I'm like, look, I seen this, like, 300 years ago, trust me.
I'm vibing with my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren.
You know, like, just imagine, that's really cool, and you will still look young, and your child, grandkids will be at that age where they're like, oh, you know, they will probably figure out not to call you grandma anymore, but you'll be able to, like, you know, just have those adult conversations, and you'll finally be able to, you know, just watch out for them. I think that's pretty cool.
Hot girl summer.
For 1,000 years.
At like 300 years old, and you're still kicking it.
Oh yeah.
I might write a book about that. That actually sounds kind of interesting now that you bring it. Yeah, you know what? I'm convinced.
Do it.
I will.
Yes.
Okay. This is a good one. At what point does striving for a better life turn from healthy to unhealthy?
I feel like when you don't appreciate what you have, and it's like to the point where you're like, does it serve you any purpose anymore? And when you're saying striving for a better life, it's like, okay, when you strive for a better life, you're supposed to improve your condition that's probably dire or something that's just like, it's just not working for you in your best interest. But when you are in a stable condition and everything is well and you're still looking for something more, how much further do you have to like go with this process? And that's when I feel like you start just being just very greedy and green-eyed, that's when things start being a toxic ambition.
Ooh. I think it's kind of similar to what you were saying about that. Because, like, I feel like, here's the thing, I'm all about prioritizing self-love and making sure that, like, you know, you're taking care of yourself, checking in with yourself physically,
right,
mentally and emotionally, like making sure, like, that's always good. And like striving to improve yourself. Like, I'm here for that and self-love and self-improvement.
Right.
But I feel like to the point where you're kind of like neglecting every aspect of your life besides yourself. Like, I mean, it's fun. Like when you're getting almost too egotistical for yourself, if that makes sense.
Like, when you stop caring about people, like, yes, keep going.
Yes, no, literally, like when you cut out friends and family and you don't like care about them, or if you're doing things in excess to the point where you're not finding any happiness in it. Like, the way I can think of it is, like, you know, there's some people who are like exercise buffs, right? Like, they literally live, breathe, eat, sleep, exercise, you know what I mean? Right. But if you're working yourself to the point of like overexhaustion and you just don't feel good and you're sore all the time, and it's not just because you're getting like gains, it's because you're actually like really sore and your just body is just not reacting to the stress of it well, or if, you know, if you're at work and you're like you're really happy with your job but you're working overtime and you're working super super long hours, you know what I mean,
breaking your body down, like, yes,
then it's not good. You have to be able to balance it. That's really, it's like, I feel it's the point where you're overworking yourself either in an egotistical way or you're just mentally burning yourself out.
Most definitely. And that's why you guys always take care of yourself and always listen to your body, because at the same time, goals will remain goals, but there's no point in like trying to achieve those goals if you're gonna be end up breaking your body down at the,
literally, listen, you know, to Jada, listen, you know, to Jada.
Thanks.
This, but, is like, yeah, I'm excited for this one. Does the world look the same through another person's eyes?
Absolutely not.
I agree. Not. I agree.
Oh my god.
I feel like I've been agreeing with you a lot, and y'all, and not just because I'm like, I'm just gonna jump on the train. No, I honestly think that, like, the world, that's the thing, is like, what's the thing? Like, no two people, oh, maybe that just applies to snowflakes, but it's like, you know, aww, no, like, it's like every snowflake's unique, like, no two are alike. I feel like that's the way right. people see the world, like, no two people are the same in how they see the world.
Exactly, and that's what makes illusions so much fun, because one person can see an old bald guy, and then if you look at another person, you can see, like, a guy with glasses, you know? Those type of illusions, and I feel like Emma and I feel like it's what connects with a person that yes. really, you know, changes their perspective, because Emma, she can be looking at something and see, like, let's say a couple arguing, and she hears their conversation, she's like, oh, that's a book, and I could be in the same place, same place, looking at the couple, no, past the couple, and I see a duck and her ducklings walking by, and I'm like, oh, that's so adorable, what a beautiful life it is, you know? You know? And it's like, there's different priorities, and there's different triggers, and there's different inspirations, and I feel like it'll never be the same. They can be things alike, but no, absolutely
and
not.
See, that's why it's awesome, too, because you, like, from other friends and family, you know, you get those different perspectives on the world.
Exactly.
I think that's kind of fun, though, to, like, have it different is. Perspectives. You know what
Even
I mean?
Even if the perspective isn't nowhere near anything you would grasp of thinking, it's still mm-hmm. interesting to hear someone yeah. else's thought process.
Yeah. This one is who?
Mm. Oh, dear.
Are you still you if everyone looks at you differently?
Ooh.
Here's the thing, guys. We're still recording. That was just silence. Our audio didn't break. That was just silence.
Sorry. I feel like you are still you regardless of how people perceive you. Cause
I
even
think so.
The thing is, I feel like people's opinions do not make you. They can affect how you view yourself, but at the end of the day, as long as you know who you are, you how you feel, how you know your dreams, and you know how you, what's your and within what's within your heart, I feel like those people's opinions or views of you does not matter whatsoever.
I agree. I mean, that one's kind of trippy because it's like, wow, because it's really true. And this kind of goes back with the previous question about, you know, does the world look the same through another person's eyes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's it kind of, you know, coincides with that. But it's true. It's like, you really don't, like, I still think, though, like you said, where as long as it's like your opinion of you matters and you don't care what other people think about you, you're always going to be yourself.
That's right.
I think it's when you take other people's opinions in, or if you're like, oh, this person really likes me. This person, I'm good acquaintance with. This person just straight up hates me, like, for no reason. But see, I feel like it, as long as you still know who you are and you have your own goals, that's all that matters.
This question gave me, like, misunderstood princess turned to evil queen vibes.
Ooh.
Like, that's what this question gave
I'm
me.
I'm vibing.
Like, you know, like, it gave me, like, oh, I mean, if you're one of those people who feel like, oh, is this how you view me, I'll show you what a real bad guy is. And
oh, like, hey.
You know? Yeah. And then it's like that, but as long as you stay true to yourself, you should be just fine.
Ooh, I like that. Okay, so, given that our memories change all the time,
mm-hmm.
how can we ever be sure of what we experienced in the past?
Ooh, I feel like for me, because my memory, mm-hmm. it stinks. Like, when people tell me
of things that I cannot relate. Mine is, like, razor sharp.
See, and that's why it's good to have people like her. Well, see, uh-huh. that's where I'm going with this. I feel like if you go with have people around you that you trust, and they were there at that moment, and their stories are consistent, mm-hmm. and it's like, oh, maybe I did, like, because, you know, like, you know, memories are always up for interpretation. They always change, like you said. So I mm-hmm. feel like if there's, like a consistent, like, story, I feel like that's when you should start questioning your memory.
Mm. Like, what do you mean by that?
I mean, like, let's say, for example, let's say my memory is I went to Walmart and I grabbed 5 bags of Skittles and 2 bags of marshmallows, and then yep. you're with me and you're like, mm-hmm. no, those were like 3 bags of marshmallows and two bags of Skittles. And you're like, what? Oh. How's that? And then it's like, no, do you remember when that other bag of marshmallows or other bag of Skittles dropped on the floor? And you're like, oh, wait, I forgot about that. Oh, and it's like, oh, it is two Skittles and three marshmallows.
I don't know what you buying, but okay.
I don't know either, but it sounds like a delicious Starbucks drink. Think on that. Marshmallow that. Skittles. Ooh.
You might be on something. I feel like that's the same, though. I mean, like I said, I have to disagree with you. My memory's like razor sharp. I feel like, although it depends on your, I feel like if you really do remember it, I mean, it's true. Like, sometimes, like, if there's bad memories, people will try to block those out, and that's fine.
Most definitely.
But I feel like, you know, it also depends on your experience, and maybe those things sort of, like, change over time. Like, mm-hmm. if there's, like, a memory you have, and you're like, oh, yeah, like, this is, like, I remember it being, like, this really, like, good memory. Like, okay, the best way I can explain it is, like, with friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, people who, like, I'm not, no longer friends with now, or, like, maybe we've just, like, distanced over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at the time, and, like, for, like, I don't know, a little while after, I was like, oh, that was such a good memory. Like, we had so much fun. But then, you know, when we distance or we just, like, grew apart and whatever, I'm like, oh, actually that memory wasn't as good as I remembered it. Aww. You know what I mean? So I feel like maybe emotions change, but, like, we can be sure of what happened. And see, I feel maybe that's why a lot of people, like, you know, some people are, like, very materialistic people, but sometimes mm-hmm. those materials have memories tied to them. Most so I feel definitely. Like that's, like, a way to connect with people, if that makes sense.
So tell me, what type of person are you when it comes to memories? Are you, do you hold, like, memories to objects? Are you smells, experiences? Ooh. What are you? I'm just curious.
I mean, I do. I mean, I have some materialistic things. Not a whole lot, though. I mean, like, photographs and whatever, and, like, some little, like, knickknacks or whatever. Mm-hmm. I definitely have. I'm kind of that person, though, who, like, and maybe that's why I like to, maybe that's why I want to be a writer. Jada, you're really opening up my floodgates right now. You spun this question on me. I didn't know this was a think tank. I'm the one with the questions here.
you know?
No, I think, I honestly think, though, that, like, for me, my favorite sort of memory thing to do mm-hmm. is, like, sit around, like, a campfire, sit around with, like, friends who are just, like, chilling in a living room. Mm-hmm. And we just start talking about memories and, like, mm-hmm. hearing the stories from, like, other people's perspectives or, like, stories from other people's time period, like the time that they were experiencing it. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I just really like that. Like,
so you're more of a area, like, I see it. You like places.
It's very, verbal memories.
For me, but food is a big thing for me because I feel like food,
same.
Even though it's not, it might not be the same exact taste, but when I'm having a conversation with someone and I look down at a dish, like something like I totally forgot, like for example, there's these certain candies. It's like a strawberry candy. It's like this green wrapper with red and yellow flakes on it. I just like polka dots, and it's strawberry candies.
Those. So strawberry so look, candies.
I haven't seen them from years at all, and then I ate one, and it was and I just this memory came when I was in church, and it was this nice little old lady giving me candy after like the sermon, whatever, and I totally forgot about this lady, and it turned out to be my great grandmother's friend, and I totally forgot about her for years, and it finally just hit me, and I'm like, oh wow.
Aww.
You know, and my eyes got all watery, and it was like, oh, and I just stuffed a whole bunch in my mouth. But yeah
we love that. No, I'm like the same way, and like places have memories tied to them, and yeah. Mm. I'm kind of the same way. Now to kind of switch gears, is there actually a present moment if that moment passes in an instant? Like, because think about
this. You're making me think too hard.
I'm sorry. It's a think tank, duh.
It is the think tank.
No, I'm just saying, though, like, think about this. Like, y'all, we don't know this right now because, you know, we're recording this. But, like, at the end of this episode, even for when you guys are listening to this, that's the future. You don't know what we're going to say. We don't know what we're going to say. But yet, since I just said that, that was the future. From like 5 seconds ago.
And that future is our present. Holy cow.
I know, right? Like, it that one's really
trippy.
Holy cow.
And it's kind of crazy because I feel like that's what makes this podcast and photos and videos so special, because you're catching that present moment that was, we didn't even know that was going to happen, which is the future.
Mm-mm.
in a single moment, and that becomes our past. And it's like, holy cow, we captured this forever.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Oh, wow. That's a good question.
That is a really good one. That's
yes, well done. Well done.
Okay, so now we're going to kind of get into questions that have, like, two parters, okay?
Okay.
So this one is, are we the source of our own problems? And do we create problems to give our minds something to focus on?
Yes and yes, and here's why.
Okay, break it down, both parts.
Yes.
Let's go.
Now, are we the source of, like, first question, say it one more time for me so I can repeat it.
Are we the source of our own problems?
I feel like we are the source of our own problems because I feel like problems only arise when we feel like there's an issue. And when a problem arises, it's really up to perspective. Mm-hmm. And sometimes problems, it's like, it's what bother us. Mm-hmm. And I feel like certain things we choose to let bother us. Because you have the option of being like, am I going to be really upset right now? Or this is just going totally against my moral code. Like, this is just absolutely not okay. And I feel like that's the reason why we choose what problems we let into our lives. Except unless there's like an outside force who's putting you in a situation that's, you know, that's just creating a problem without you really expecting it, you know? And mm-hmm. even then, if it is an outside force, let's say, like, you're driving on a bridge and then you swerve. Mm-hmm. Are you going to panic and be like, oh, my God, I'm going to die? Or are you going to be like, oh, shoot, I just ran from the bridge. I am going to break out this window and live. Like, it's okay. We're here. You know? And, like, it's all about how we respond to situations. And the second part is, what was the second question?
Oh, sorry. But there are... Okay.
You're okay.
Sorry. Do we create problems to give our minds something to focus on?
And I believe we do give ourselves problems because I feel like we are always evolving beings, and I feel like there's going to always be some type of fiber in our being making us want to grow mm-hmm. or at least change. And I feel like we're always going to be pushing ourselves in little or small ways. And I, like, you might feel like, why do I do this?
Mm-hmm.
Is this a learned behavior, or is this like a behavior estimator? And you're like, I'm gonna push myself, I'm gonna find out why I do the things I do. And it's like, you know, you create a problem, not even create a problem, but you start nitpicking yourself and you're like, you know what, I'm going to change. Because you know what, no one wants to be a stagnant being. You always want to grow for the better.
You got really aggressive right there. You're like, nobody wants to be a stagnant being. It's like, okay, sorry, someone hurt you, man.
It's not about me.
No, it's not.
So what about you?
Okay. So for the first part, I would say no, because I mean, there are certain parts of us where, like, yes, we are like our own problems. You know what I mean? Like, we are the source of our own problems. Mm-hmm. But like some things, like, for example, you wanted to go swimming today? Well, too bad. It's raining outside. Well, I mean, that's not I didn't say to the gods, make it rain today. You know, like, we're in mythology. I didn't say to the weather, it's not gonna rain, you know.
Be like, Zeus, let it rain.
Let it rain. No, but you know what I mean? Or, like, if you go to school, you know, and the teacher's like, you're gonna have a quiz today. Well, I didn't say to the teacher, we should have a quiz tomorrow. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. there's certain aspects, but I definitely feel, just because I'm an overthinker, I feel like when it says, like, do we create problems to give our mind something to focus on. Mm-hmm. I mean, as an overthinker, I can definitely say, okay, yes, I have been there before, where mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm bored, and I'm like, I'm gonna think about something else, and then that just leads down a dangerous trail of overthinking.
The rabbit hole, that's where we go to. That's what it is.
So it's kind of like yes and no in that sort of perspective, but first I'm gonna say no. Second part of the question, I'm going to say yes.
That's interesting, because you have two different perspectives, you guys. You got someone who's very structure-oriented. She likes her schedules. She likes her times. She likes to know what's coming. And she's like, yep, this is not my fault. I did not ask for this. I did not ask for it to rain.
Literally me.
And then there's literally me. Go with the flow. It is what it is. We'll be fine. We're going to win.
Whatevs.
Don't worry about it. If it's raining outside in the pool, let's go swim in a raining pool. How about that?
For real. Okay, here's another two-parter. Mm-hmm. So, okay, is trust something that is offered by the giver or earned by the receiver? Okay, we'll just start with that, because there's a second part to that question. But so yeah, is trust something that is offered by the giver or is it earned by the receiver?
Ooh. I feel like it's earned by the receiver.
I am the same way.
Yeah, because I'm not just going to give you my trust. That's just not what we're going to do. You have to work for that. You have to prove yourself even worthy to have my trust. You know, like, it's not a give thing. This is more like you got to earn your stripes to even, like, be in the beehive. Like, that's not how it works.
Well, there you go. Because the second part of the question is, when you meet someone new, do you start by trusting or mistrusting them?
Oh, you know what? I don't even trust. See, I don't even mistrust. I just give everyone a benefit of the doubt. That's me. I'm a very gray person. I'm not black, white. I'm just very gray. My reason for this is, let's say someone's very aggressive. They talk very aggressive. And it's like, oh my gosh, they're so mean. And then you're like, you find out why they're so aggressive. Maybe they grew up on a rough side of the neighborhood where that's how people just talk aggressive. But that aggressiveness could actually be like, for example, oh my God, your hair, what's wrong with you? And it'd be really be like, oh my gosh, you have something in your hair. Can I take it out? You know, and it's like, you just really have to get to know the person to really just see if someone is genuine or mean good towards you. That's what I feel. So, yeah.
See, I definitely am the same as you, where I definitely think it's earned by the receiver. It's, I mean, like, there are moments, like, you know, like, really dramatic, like in Aladdin, where he's like, do you trust me? You know what I mean? Right. I mean, and there have been moments, too, where I've told friends, like, you know, hey, I trust you on this. Like, can I, like, tell you something? Like, I trust you on this. You know what I mean?
I love when you say that. It makes you feel important.
That's a good compliment, y'all, to give people. It's a really good compliment. The best compliments aren't usually, like, looks or whatever. It's usually, like, personality compliments. That's just a life hack for y'all, just in case you really want to impress, like, a lover or a friend, you know?
Don't compliment them on appearance. Compliment them towards intellect.
Yes, or, yeah, like I said, I trust you or something like that.
Exactly.
Definitely think that those are really valuable. And honestly, I'm kind of the mistrusting type right away.
Really?
And I know that sounds weird, but like, I mean, like, you just, because especially in this world, okay, I want to say a certain situation, but I feel like, because it's just been drilled into like my head and like just with the presence of social media, if you can catch where I'm going with this, like, you know, with certain, ways people talk to each other.
Yeah.
I'll allude with that. But, like, you know, when just, like, from what I've heard from other people, where it's, like, people will ask for things. And then, if you don't know this person and you can't trust them, like, it's just very mistrusting. But also, like, I don't go up to, like, someone stranger and be like, let me tell you my deepest, darkest secret. You know what I mean?
Agreed.
Like, you just don't do that. So, like, I'm kind of mistrusting at first. Not, like, totally, like, I'm not going to tell you anything. Like, I'm going to tell you, like, the basic cheesy stuff. You know what I mean? I'll tell you my favorite color. I'll tell you my favorite food. I'll tell you my favorite TV show. You know what I mean? But, like, I'm not going to start telling you all aspects of my life unless you absolutely ask for it. You know what I mean?
You know what's crazy? Something like that happened to me. I don't know what was this girl's thing, but I was on the beach. And she literally told me I never met her a day in my life. And she literally told me, like, literally the most important thing in her life to me. And I was like, what the heck? Who, like, you don't even know me. Like, you're really, like, spilling your guts to me. And I'm like, I didn't ask for this, you know? It's crazy. But, and, you know, what Emma said about how people, you know, ask for certain things. That's pretty, some people don't care. But that's really, I think it's, you know, it takes a lot of guts and gusto to be able to just show yourself so vulnerably, and not everyone can do that. So,
yeah. So it really all depends, you know, and there's no really, for this question, there really is like no right or wrong answer, because it really depends on your personality. Like, some people, like you said, they're just really vulnerable and they'll open up to you like that girl did to you on the beach. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But like, to other people, I mean, like, they will not open up to you. Maybe not even for like 4 or 5 times that you guys have hung out together, they might not even open up to you.
Hey, so you guys, in my last episode with Z, I literally did not know this girl 3 years later. Like, I didn't get to know her name until 3 years. So that just shows you right there.
Yeah, go listen to that episode if you haven't. It's amazing.
Thank you.
Okay, this one, I feel like this is a very general question, but I feel like it's not really, like, talked about. Why do bad things happen to good people?
Ooh, you know what? I thought about this a lot, but I feel like there is.
I don't like how you're starting with that. Like, that's, I don't know if that's a promising opener, but okay.
But I think honestly, it's to test the will of good people. I feel like that's just
real deep.
Sorry. Honestly, but like, I feel like these things happen because I feel like the way the world is and how people can be so selfish and self-centered, I feel like sometimes this world can either make you or break you. And I feel like sometimes this world, not to say it's just out to get you, of course mm-hmm. it's not, but I mm-hmm. definitely believe things happen to test your character. Because I mean, if you do fail and you break under pressure, there's always a chance for you to do better. Mm-hmm. But if you do withstand those obstacles, I feel like it makes you an even better person and a more appreciative person and a more understanding person for someone who just might need someone like you in their life. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that, like, you know, like good things, you know, people say like, you know, good things come to those who wait, and been told that a lot. Yeah. There's been that in certain aspects of my life. That's a different episode though.
We'll save that for later.
Yeah, we'll save that. That's a different episode, y'all. But you know, like good things come to those who wait. And like you said, I do think it is kind of like a test, like you said. Not like a test, because like, you know, for example, there could be really genuine, good hearted people out there and they might just get like just, you know,
worst just, luck.
They just have the worst luck in the world. But I feel like it's a way to like see like, like you said, are there still good people in the world? And I mean, to be honest, like, it's just an aspect of life. You know what I mean?
Indeed.
So, I mean, it's very unfortunate and it's unfair, especially if like there are bad-hearted people in the world and they have good and good things happen to them. And then these really good people are like, why didn't that happen to me? It is unfortunate, but like, not to be like really like brute and rash, you know, like just like it is what it is, you know what
you
I
know
mean?
Maybe, but it humbles that, people, who knows, for those people, like if those people were like,
ooh, that's a good way to think of it,
you know, because like just imagine you were like, let's say there's a person and mm-hmm. they're just the sweetest, kindest person and they have some type of terminal illness mm-hmm. and let's say if that person didn't have that terminal illness, do you think they would still be as kind, as forgiving, and less like, not as like, you know, very just welcoming and kind if they didn't know that they were going to die at a certain amount of time and just chose their battles and just chose to be, like choose kindness, you know? Ooh. What I mean, you get what I'm getting at? Yeah
no?
I don't know, but it's just a thought.
Yeah, it's just thought. Just thought.
This is the think tank, so it's just a thought. Keep that in mind, you guys.
I like this one too because we've talked about like dreams in the past, you know, and mm-hmm. I think literally in past like think tank episodes. But why do we do things in our dreams that we would never ever do when we're awake?
Now here's that's a good question. But the reason is for that. I feel like in our dreams, we could be our truest self, our bravest self, or mm-hmm. even not even our bravest self, but like even our craziest self. The yeah. self that we just cannot be on this land while we are awake. We just cannot do it, nor will we do it.
Yeah.
No way. And I feel like it shows us that there are certain things that deep down we are capable of, and we know that we're capable of, but we just never been in a situation where it required mm-hmm. that aspect of you to surface in bright daylight. So
yeah see, and I feel like that's like your alter ego and your subconscious like talking to you, because like like I said, I think I mentioned this in like the last think tank or something, but it was like that dream moods when we like analyzed our dreams in my psychology class mm-hmm. and there's certain aspects where it's like we went on that website and we looked up, oh yeah, like this, if you see this in your dream, this is what it means and represents in your life. So I feel like it's your subconscious like talking to you, kind of right. like a way to like kind of connect with your soul. But no, like I've had really weird dreams, like dreams that have like no, like so many things are going on and like none of them correlate with each other and they don't make like any sense at all. But I'm like, okay, why? Like, why is it like this? You know
that's
what I mean?
Funny. Agreed. Yes.
But
I definitely.
We should do an episode on that, like dreams. Yes. Let us know if you want to do like us, have us do like an episode where we talk about like our dreams that we've had or something like that.
Oh my
that.
God. I feel like, oh, Jesus.
That'd be a fun. I know. That would be fun.
Funny. That
would be really fun. But no, there's just so many like different aspects of it. But like, let's say you're afraid of heights, right?
Mm-hmm.
And let's say you have a dream that you, in your dream you go skydiving, right? Whether you perceive this as like a dream or a nightmare, if you're afraid of heights, that's up to you. Mm-hmm. But like maybe it's your mind saying, hey, like just try it. Maybe that'll conquer your fear. You know what I mean?
Most definitely.
So it really all depends. I mean, like you said, it's a way for us to express ourselves and be free in our own minds where nothing can hurt us.
Exactly. Uh-huh.
And then finally, final question for this episode. Why do we like what we like and dislike what we dislike?
Ooh. You know what? I thought about this when I was looking at this thing full of squash, and I'm just like, why do I hate you? You are nothing but a regular vegetable. And I'm like, you know what?
I don't like squash either.
See, this is why we're friends. I know I can forgive you on the whole melon thing. So,
Jaden, yeah. You gotta let go of, okay, you gotta let go of the melon thing. And I guess what? I can overlook the peanut butter situation too.
Okay, I guess. Well, I'll, you know, this is where we duke it out. We're done. Okay, I love you.
You gotta drop the melon situation. This is like the fifth episode. Okay, not really. It's been like the third episode that you brought that up. We don't need to keep rehashing it.
Okay, look, you guys. This is the fifth time I brought it up between us two. This is the third time on any of the episodes. But to continue on, I feel like we all have different experiences. And yeah. I believe that when we have our very first experience of each type of experience, it could be either good or bad. And I feel like those first experiences can be pretty impactful for the next time you decide to try it again if you choose to do so. And I feel like, I mean, we all have different things that, you know, that just doesn't sit right with us. Like, for example, one of my siblings have a texture issue. She hates certain types of blankets. Like, she hates it, but she has to have silk sheets. There's just some things that just feel disgusting to her. Like, those little toys that has a little hair that's rubbery that you can find in the dollar store with the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
It's super squishy. She hates it. But then she likes, I don't know, like, this. What does she like? Like, fuzzy dice ice cubes. Like, fuzzy dice cubes. She likes it. She's okay. It's weird. But I feel like it just depends on the person, really. I don't know.
That could definitely be something, too. And, I mean, I've heard, well, there's one theory about, like, past lives, and I don't know if that's true or not, but, like, I'm fine with it. But, like, some people say, like, your fears or whatever are, like, things from, like, your past life that, like, you either, like, died from it or, like, you don't like it. It's kind of going back to, like, the fear of heights thing. Like, maybe you, like, died from a skydiving accident. You know what I mean?
Oh, no, you could have fall from a plane. Who knows?
Exactly. Like, those are the things. So, but also I feel like certain aspects are, like, inherited, like, reasons why you don't like things. Like, so, for example, if you grow up, I think my mom doesn't like squash. We'll go back to the squash thing. My mom doesn't like squash, but I don't like squash either. And I don't even know if my grandma likes squash. Does my grandma like squash? I don't know. I'll have to ask her about that. But if she does, see, some things are just inherited. So that could very much be a thing. I think, though, it's just, like, yeah, like you said, different possibilities. And, like, one experience might have been good and you really might have liked it. Whereas, like, the person next to you might have gone through the same thing and they, like, didn't like it.
The worst experience of their life. You don't even know. It could be, like, a little trigger. You don't even know.
So that's the thing is, like, what we like and dislike, it really all depends on the person. But speaking of, like, we hope you liked this episode.
Oh, that was smooth.
That's a good segue, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we hope you liked another episode of The Think Tank. Before we sign off on this episode, all the questions from the very first Think Tank and then the past few Think Tanks in this episode were brought to you by the website aconsciousrethink.com. That is where I found all of the questions. I didn't want to spoil it in the first few. Disclaimer, I didn't want y'all to, like, go on the website and, like, find these questions.
And
I'd be like, oh, okay, like, send in questions. There are a ton of questions. I think it was, like, 101 questions, like, deep questions to make you think.
Mm-hmm.
So whether you found some questions in this episode or any of our previous episodes so far, you can go to, like I said, all one word, all lowercase, aconsciousrethink.com. So you can ask your friends, ask your family, or if you just, like, really want to go and ponder and look up new questions, go online, go to the website, check it out. Yeah.
And get into it.
Always be using your think tank.
Always, because that's what we do here at Pinkies Up. And with that, please stay tuned with us and have a nice day, you guys. Bye.
See you next week. Bye.